Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Lingwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, but especially the joy you feel when you share God's love with others. Once again, we're going to reflect on the coronavirus struggle in our lives, going to yellow in many ways, but still need to pay close attention to what is happening. But what might Jesus be saying to us through Sister Faustina? We'll explain that. To help us in moments of difficulty. But as always, I'd like to begin a program with a story that is based on faith and form with imagination. It had been a long day, and Jesus was tired, but pleased. It was John who said to Jesus, "Master, you see that man over there? He sits so quietly, taking in every word you speak, and then he goes into the city to blaspheme you. Tell him to leave, Master. Don't let him make a fool of you." Jesus sat and didn't say anything. Peter eventually spoke up and said, "Master, how many times do we have to tell you how our words have fallen on deaf ears? Don't you understand what we're telling you?" Still, Jesus said nothing. There was silence. The only words to be heard were made by the birds, the wind, and the rustle of the trees. Jesus slowly turned, looked at his two friends, and said, My friends, have you not been with me long enough to understand the ways of man? Oh, Master, be silent, Jesus said, for silence is golden like the sun. It is bright and offers comfort. I know the man of whom you speak, and I know what he does, for I have heard him and seen him. He comes here and listens to me, and then he leaves and mocks me. But I tell you this, he is listening, and in time he will make the right decision. Jesus said rather angrily, "But Master, don't you understand? He is turning people away from you." Jesus answered, "Again I tell you, Peter, he is his own worst enemy, for he must remember my words if he wants to mock me. He will also remember everything I did, and eventually he will know what is good and what is right. Be not fearful, my friends, for in time he will join me and support all that I say." Peter and John shook their heads, and John said to Peter, "I don't understand him at times." Peter said, There is wisdom in what he says, but Jesus smiled gently and shook his head at his two friends. He looked up at the sky, into the brightness of the heavens, and said softly, "Father, forgive them. They speak without listening. They see but do not understand." He smiled at the earth, and tears formed in his eyes from the brightness of the sun. He touched a rock, patted it gently, and said, "My words, your words, Father, will stand like a rock." He wiped the tears from his eyes, and in a few moments his fingertips were dry. He said, "Their words of bitterness shall soon disappear like my tears." Before introducing my guest this evening, I'd like to read first from the foreword of her latest book titled Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You. And it was exactly 1 year ago that we had our guest on the program. A couple places from the foreword of her latest book. Popes Benedict and Francis have echoed the words of St. John Paul II that the message of the divine mercy is essential for the world of today. It is the heart of the gospel. We can only come to know ourselves and our true identity if we come to know God and His mercy. God has used St. Faustina, a simple religious sister who only was able to attend school for 3 winters, as His secretary of mercy. God wanted her to remind us of the depths of His love and mercy. Through the centuries, many people have become confused about who God really is. They have an abstract concept of Him, and many people think that God is out to get us. Nothing could be further from the truth. And a little later she writes, "When St. John Paul II first asked a famous theologian, Father Ignacy Rosicky, to look over the diary of St. Faustina to be certain that it was free from theological errors, the priest didn't want to bother. He thought for sure that it would be a waste of time. He put the book on his desk, and then he never touched it for a long time. Finally, he picked up the diary one day with the intention of finding a theological error in it so that he wouldn't have to read any further. However, the first passage that he read touched him deeply. He felt drawn to read further. He then spent 2 years carefully analyzing the diary and writing a 400-page analysis of it in French. He never saw across, it never came across, a theological error. He asked pardon from God for having ignored his archbishop's request for so long. He then spent 8 more years studying the diary to gain deeper insights." Our guest once again this year is Susan Tissone. She is an award-winning author of 11 books, and she holds a master's degree in religious education from Loyola University in Chicago. Many church leaders, cardinals and bishops among them, have endorsed her works, and she has been a frequent and popular guest on national radio and television programs, as well as social media. Susan Tissone, welcome back to Amplify.
Father, it's a great honor. Thank you for having me, especially what we're going through this at this time. A year ago, who would have thought what we'd be experiencing today?
Exactly, and it's a perfect book to reflect on of God's mercy. It's something that we need. But what is it that continues to inspire you to write about Sister Faustina?
That's a great question. Actually, these 5 books that I wrote on Faustina was an inspiration from one of the Marian priests. Father Dan Cambra is a Marian priest that resides up at Stockbridge, where the Shrine of Divine Mercy is, and he had contacted me a couple of years ago to say, can you, since I my specialty was purgatory, he said, would you be able to glean out all the nuggets and the gems that Faustina talked about, experienced, what Jesus told her, what the souls told her, what Our Lady said about purgatory. He said, I'm not sure it could be done, but you might you might be the one. And so we did. And St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls was born. And so after, and that won an award. After that, he calls me again, and he says, well, you know, Faustina had another mission in addition to, you know, spreading the message of divine mercy. Jesus told her to pray for the conversion of sinners. Would you be able to address that in the diary? That's never been done. Went back again and gleaned out everything she said about, you know, how do you pray for the conversion of sinners? He, what Jesus told her to do, what he told her to pray, and we can cover that if you like, because I kind of repeat a couple things in this new book. And so that book was born, St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Conversion of Sinners. And then he calls me again. It's like clockwork. And he said, well, you know, there's one other area. And he said, she adored. She was St. Faustina of the Blessed Sacrament. Of course. And it being in, you know, purgatory, that's my focus. I thought, what does that have to do with adoration? What does conversion have to do with purgatory? I mean, what does purgatory have to do with adoration? Right. What does purgatory have to do with the conversion of sinners? Well, you have to convert in order to, you know, to avoid purgatory. So I justify doing the book. And adoration is one of the pillars that help relieve and release the souls in purgatory. So I went back, and that St. Faustina Prayer Book for Adoration is one of the most exquisite books that I've ever done. As you notice, many of the bishops and cardinals have endorsed it and use it. And all three won awards. And I'm delighted because I do this for the readers. I do it for God. And day by day with St. Faustina was the same, you know, Providence. Father calls me again, and we were talking, and I said, you know, we have all these incredible things she said. You know, I wanted to do something that focused on everything she said, what she experienced, what Jesus said to her, how she handled, you know, living in a convent, how she handled being a visionary, if you will, and how she handled life and what her experiences were, what her advice was. And Father, you mentioned, I believe, Father Kozicki. Did you mention Father Kozicki?
Yes, I did.
Okay. He guided me. Father Kozicki was one of the originals that helped to translate the diary into English. And he put out a reference book that actually is called a concordance, and it covers everything, every single thing Faustina said, experienced, topics, all in. It's just like it's like an index. A concordance is like an index, and that's what guided me on the day by day with St. Faustina. Because people think, how did you write it? Did you just open the diary and pick things out? No, that wasn't what I wanted to do. And sure enough, I knew Father Kozicki. God bless him, because he put together a concordance that has every single topic, subtopic, theme, broken down in every which way. And that's how that book, Day by Day with St. Faustina, came to be. And that's what guided me. So I knew exactly what I had to zero in on. And the key themes with St. Faustina are addressed. There were certain themes that popped out constantly with that book, and they were Holy Communion, confession, adoration, praying for the dying, doing God's will, God's love, the Trinity, the cross. All those are in that book. So that book is a great primer if you want to go and read the diary. This helps you to understand, you know, what the diary is all about, and helps, you know, explain to you, when in our reflections. And we covered that last year at this very time. and I thought I was finished. Although this wasn't a call from Father Dan, this was the light bulb went on when I was writing day by day with St. Faustina. I'm poring over this diary for the fourth time, and I realized, oh my goodness, Jesus is speaking to her. And I'm looking at this, and I'm writing day by day, and I'm thinking, but there's Jesus' words. If I tried to put Jesus' words along with Faustina, it would be the size of a telephone book. And that's when I realized, oh, I get it, Lord, I get it. Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You is the sequel. It's just Him, just His words, everything He said to her and to us. And that's how these Faustina books were born, Father.
Why does the theme of love stand out above all the rest?
Oh, my goodness. That's an incredible question. As I worked on these books, every one of them, and you're poring over the diary, what jumped out at me, it jumped out at me last year when we did Day by Day, that He talks about His love. I think one of the most important things, in addition to His mercy, is His love and His love He has for each one of us. It was so profound that the day by day with Faustina, I made sure I included these passages of His love for us. And then when I poured over just Jesus' words, there were more. And they were so exquisite. They were so powerful, Father. They were so profound. They were so moving about His love for us, His great, unfathomable love for us, that I made sure that at the end of every month, He speaks to you. We end with His love. We end with how He loves us and how He expresses His love for us, how He tells Faustina about His love for us. And so we end with this great, ending of, it's not even an ending, it's just Him reminding you, and I love you, and I made you. And there's one of the passages is one of my favorites is, was Faustina was, after she had received Holy Communion, she said to our Lord, she said, I thought about you so many times last night. And Jesus answered her, and He said, and I thought of you before I called you into being. And she said, in what way were you thinking about me? And He said, in terms of admitting you to my eternal happiness. And she said, after she heard this, she said that I could not stop marveling at how much God loves us. Father, God doesn't need us. He's self-sufficient, but because we're made in His image and likeness, we have a spark of Him in us. And He can't live without us. And what is a spark? If if you're at a beach and you have a bonfire, or you're roasting marshmallows and there's this fire, even in a fireplace, what happens? What comes out of the fire? Sparks. We're part of that fire. And we're the sparks from that fire. And we have a part of Him in us. And He can't live without us. He didn't have to create us, Father, as you know. And there were billions of possible souls that He saw. But He created you, Father Ron. He created all the listeners. Other souls could have been holier. They could have been smarter. They could have been far more interesting than me or you or anybody. But He didn't create them.
Right,
pardon me?
But what I want to say is you believe that God has inspired you in your life also, and you have great devotion and love for the souls in purgatory, and each of us would probably select different entries. But let's take this break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the second segment of Amplify. Our guest is Susan Tassone. We're talking about the book, Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, 365 Reflections. Now, Susan, I just heard from my producer, did not know it beforehand, that just when he contacted you, that you're having some difficulty, that you have water coming through your roof or somehow into your room. And so if at any time you want to just end, we can end.
Okay, thank you. I'll keep you posted, Father. We've had rain nonstop around the clock.
Right.
For 2 days, and it's been nonstop all the way until tomorrow. So I'm keeping an eye on it.
Okay, you let me know.
Sure.
No problem. We'll do what we need to do. Tell us a little bit about just the concept of divine mercy as you have come to understand it and even experience it.
Well, you know, as I was saying, his mercy is his love, and I just wanted to finish what I was saying about how he chose us because there was something about us that drew him to create us. And I think Catherine of Siena, in her dialogue, that's her book, in the dialogue, she said, "You absolutely do not need us, but you act as if you can't get along without us." God loves us more than anybody else, and he loves us more than anybody can, and he thinks about us day and night, waiting to admit us into his eternal happiness. So so how does Jesus define mercy? Is his love. How does it apply to us? It's the same as it was in St. Faustina's time, Father. It applies to us now more than ever because, he wants to remind us of his mercy and his love. And he told Faustina that these are his greatest attributes. And he asked her to contemplate these attributes. And he doesn't derive pleasure, from the death of the wicked. He wants us to turn, from evil so we can live. Translated for us, it's be merciful. Be merciful to yourself and to others. Forgive yourself and others. Share disagreements without becoming disagreeable. Turn to divine mercy for advice and comfort. And Father, here's one of my favorite quotes, a perfect example of his mercy. He was praying. It's January 7th. If you have the book in front of you, but
sure.
It was his last moments. And what was he thinking about? He was thinking about us. He was thinking about offering his life for us, praying for us. And the reflection I wanted to stress was, was that mercy. He wasn't thinking about himself, but about poor sinners. And it says, pure love gives the soul strength at the very moment of dying. This is Jesus saying this. When I was dying on the cross, I was not thinking about myself, but about poor sinners. And I prayed for them to my Father. It would be an honor if you read the reflection, Father, because
go ahead. I'm going to do another reflection, but right after yours. Go ahead.
Well, I would. Okay, then. So this is what the reflection was, and I just think it just said everything about mercy. When Napoleon sentenced a man to death, the man's mother pleaded for her son's life. Napoleon insisted that the crime's gravity demanded her son's life in justice. Sobbing, she cried, "Sir, I don't seek justice, but mercy." He said, "He's undeserving of mercy." She argued, "Sir, if he deserved it, it would not be mercy."
Right.
With that, Napoleon's heart opened. "I will have mercy." Do you want God's mercy? Then show mercy. Whenever we can be merciful to someone, we ought to show that person the same mercy we desire from God at life's last moment. A Christian woman lying on her deathbed was asked, "Are you going to receive your reward?" With tears filling her eyes, she faintly whispered with pure love, "No, I'm going to plead for mercy."
Yes. The one that I would like to read, since we were talking about love, would be January 2nd, page 4, The Law of Love. In her diary, it is written, I have found my whole law of love. And then your reflection on her words. Nowadays,
Jesus' word, I have found my whole law of love. Yes, that's Jesus speaking.
Right, yes, to her in her diary.
Right.
Nowadays, love is a plastic word, twisted and shaped in many ways. Scripture says God is love from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. When people contort love to defend actions contrary to God's law, we know that such a love, close unquote, is false, a poor counterfeit. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, quote, to love is to will the good of another, close quote. We can't let lust, selfishness, or any kind of sin shape our definition of love. Love involves more than the keeping of commandments, but it never involves anything less than keeping them. Love goes beyond the keeping of God's law, but it never goes around it. If we claim to be walking in love, but fail to keep God's commandments, we come up short. So powerful, a reflection in its own way to say that there's so many things that we reflect that we love. And it's become a much used word, would that it were always being used in the best sense in which it could be used. But as it relates to the fact that God is love, that all love ultimately, true love, ultimately comes from God. And if indeed we believe that, then we're going to try to live our lives in a loving manner. I could go on and on. So
no, keep going, Father. No. I'm listening because you really take it even further. And in fact, what takes it even further is on February 23rd, he says to Faustina, "I'm delighted with your love." And now, what does that mean? Your sincere, it's February 23rd, God delights in sincerity of heart.
Right.
So he's telling her, "I'm delighted with your love, Faustina. Your sincere love is as pleasing to me, to my heart, as the fragrance of a rosebud at morning tide before the sun has taken the dew from it." And I had the great honor to discuss these passages, Father, with theologians and scholars and exorcists. I wanted to be able to flesh it out with somebody with your level of understanding of theology, Father, with the priests that I knew. So I gave the reader the best, not just this brushed over response. So what was her love? What's the love that he wants from us? And this is the reflection. May I read it?
Sure.
Yeah. So this is the reflection of what love looks like. It's to obey his commandments, but more. And here's the reflection. Out of jealousy, Saul pursued David for 7 years and plotted to take his life. David cried to God. When the Lord delivered David, he sang a song of thanksgiving to the Lord. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hate me. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord is seeking in our hearts a true love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. And that's from First Book of Timothy. When we try to reflect God's love, mercy, and righteousness, he delights in us. God loves a sincere heart that is striving to follow him just like David. So love is seeking, mercy and love and righteousness. And I always wondered when I used to see that in Scripture, God delights in us. Well, it was much deeper than what I imagined. His delight in us is that we are pure of heart, and we have a good conscience, and we're sincere in faith. That's what that means. That's what love means, and that's what that means when God delights in us, because that's what he's delighting in.
Yeah, I'd like to go to just a little bit longer on the theme of
sure.
Love, but then I want to be able to to address those passages by which Jesus could be speaking to us about coronavirus in terms of our pain and suffering. But on May 31st, on page 165, I always pay attention to the quotes of Fulton Sheen. So I am taking your heart. And this is in her diary. I am taking your heart. Venerable Fulton J. Sheen shares this about the heart. Quote, the human heart is not shaped like a Valentine heart, perfect and regular in contour. It is slightly regular in shape, as if a small piece of it were missing out of its side. The missing part may very well symbolize a piece that a spear tore out of the universal heart of humanity on the cross. But it probably symbolizes something more. It may well, very well mean that when God created each human heart, he kept a small sample of it in heaven and sent the rest of it into the world where it would each day learn the lesson that it could never be really happy, that it could never be really wholly in love, that it could never be really wholehearted until it rested with the risen Christ in an eternal Easter, appropriate for us still during this Easter season, in terms of love that God created each human heart, and he kept a sample of it in heaven. Just think of that image, that God would be so wonderful as to keep an image of it in heaven and sent the rest into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And just such a powerful thought. And in the world where it would each day learn the lesson that it could never be really happy, that it could never be really wholly in love until it rested with the risen Christ, and that the time's going to come. We'll enter into the fullness of God's love.
You know, Father, I've never shared this before. If you don't mind me sharing this,
please.
I had the privilege of going to Fatima, and of course, this is the month of May, and we just celebrated the 103rd anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. And I forget the well. I was where the angel. Have you been to Fatima, Father?
No, I have not. No.
I hope the Lord takes you there. There, I was standing where the angel appeared to the three children to give them communion, and there's a big brass, iron fence around the trees, and you can see it, but you can't go to it. It's actually beautiful. You're very close to it. You're right in front of the angel, mm-hmm. and you can take pictures. And the peace was overwhelming. And actually, I was a tour leader. So after the pilgrims went ahead, I wanted to stay behind just for a few more moments to absorb the silence and the peace. I was so attracted to what I was looking at and to the feeling of the presence of our Lord. And so before I left, I said something really silly. I just stood there. The pilgrims were gone. I was just coming around the bend, and I just said, you know, I just looked around, and I wanted to pick up something to take back with me, a stone, just a stone, something
yes.
very small,
sure.
just to have a memory of that moment. So it was very hard to find because there wasn't a lot of stones, but there was something like the shape of a flint, a stone. So I picked it up and stuck it in my pocket. And I got on the bus, and I was with the priest that was guiding, was the spiritual leader. It was also a good friend of mine. And he said, where were you? And I said, I just wanted to spend a few more minutes with the angel and the Fatima children. And I went in my pocket, and I pulled out of my pocket, and I said, oh, Father, I picked up this little stone, and I opened it up. Now, I didn't see it. He looked at it, and it was the shape of a heart.
Am I?
And Father, there was a piece of the heart missing.
Oh, yes.
I truly believe what Fulton says. He does have the other part, and we, you know, we've got to go to him to become the whole. You know, nothing's going to make us whole until we see him to get, you know, everything back. We unite with him. We unite our heart with him. And
right.
It was just so moving. And one other thing, now this sounds crazy, but I didn't see it on the stone. The priest I was with saw it. The face of the angel was on the stone as well. The face of the angel. So, but I truly believed this quote because I had the experience myself, and that stone was the shape. What a piece of it missing.
Well, I have a friend that believes every rock has a face.
Oh, that's
a stone to remind us of that, God's creation.
Mm-hmm. So the love, they're, you know, Father, I have to tell you, they're my favorite. They're my absolute favorite, these passages of his love for us. There's one that that I just I quoted a friend of mine who's also an author, and he did a book on near-death experiences, and I was enamored by what he wrote. It was probably the best I've ever written, or he's ever written, in my opinion. And so there was I got permission to a quote from his book about one of the near-death experiences of someone that shared this with him. And it was November 30th, Father, is the passage. But in this particular passage, I decided to just quote Faustina, and she said, "Oh, what happens to a soul that meets the Lord face to face? No pen has ever expressed or ever will express." And so this is the reflection.
Let me break in, because we're just going to have 2 minutes.
Okay.
And rather than start and stop, let me just read a shorter one, because this is a larger one to read us out to the top of the program. And the one that I want to do is February 4th in terms of the coronavirus. People
need to know
I am always with you. I am always with you. I felt like a child in the hands of the best of fathers, and I heard these words, "Do not fear anything. I am always with you." His love penetrated my whole being. I felt I was entering into such close intimacy with him that I cannot find the words to express it. And the reflection then is, over and over, Jesus tells us not to fear anything. Clearly, he knows that fear is hardwired into most of us, or he wouldn't have to repent it so often. Granted, there are any number of things that can make us afraid, and certainly there's a lot of fear in people's livelihood these days. Any number of things that can make us afraid, but Jesus reassures us that we are in his presence. When we pray, nothing can harm us. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get injured or sick or have something bad happen to us. And there are those who are doubting maybe God's love because of the things that are happening to us. And indeed, you are reflecting that. What it means is that when we stay close to the Lord, we need not fear the future, the devil, his temptations, or even hell itself. And what attracted me to this one was also in terms of need not fear the devil, because I believe that in many ways this virus is of his making. He works through us, but nevertheless, ultimately, evil comes from the evil one, from Lucifer. So our guest this evening is Susan Tassone. Title of the book is Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, and Be Back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.